May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for sounds of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, O fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. 199.
Thank you. we will turn to God's holy word and we will read two psalms. Firstly, Psalm 36, and then we will read Psalm 125. Psalm 36. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Now we'll turn to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. A Song of Degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray indeed for thy mercy to be upon us, to help us. As we come up again to thy house on this thy day, O Lord, do grant us thy continued favour, thy continued help, thy continued mercy. For, O Lord, we are poor and needy, who are often, like Martha, cumbered about with much serving. O Lord, taken up with many things in this life. O Lord, do help us that we may be given that spirit like Mary, who came and sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And O Lord, indeed, we pray for thy help. Do deliver us from the temptations of Satan, from the distractions of this world. O Lord, do subdue the old man of sin, the old nature within us. And O Lord, do draw us and we will run after thee. Grant us thy help, we pray. That help of thy Holy Spirit. And O Lord, how we do pray that thou wouldst bless us indeed for thy precious promises, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And O Lord, that thou wouldst grant to the Holy Spirit, for indeed thou hast said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him. And O Lord, we do beg, O thou Holy Spirit of truth, that thou mightest come down in our midst, in our lives, in our churches. O Lord, indeed, in that way that there be that newness of life, that revival, that turning again, that reproving of sin, that giving of repentance unto life, that revealing of Christ, that guiding into all truth. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst soften our hearts to receive the word. Maybe that preparation of the breaking up of the fallow ground, the seed may fall on good ground, and that seed may be watered, that there may be that springing forth, that fruit to thine honour and glory. O Lord, we confess so often there is not the fruit that there ought to be. O Lord, do help us. Oft times we confess thy work of pruning, as it were, that cutting back, that cutting off of the dead branches. Indeed, painful it is. But we must confess, when in the Spirit it is needful, that there may be a bringing forth of more fruit. O Lord, we do pray for thy grace then. Do give us a hearing ear. Do give us that watchful, prayerful spirit, that humble spirit, that loving spirit, that compassionate and kind spirit, and merciful spirit. And we do pray for our brethren here and those from other churches visiting, that, O Lord, thy blessing may rest upon them, thy favour may rest upon them, and upon those who are older, those who are younger, on the children and the young people. O Lord, that thy rich blessing may be upon them, that there may be those additions unto the churches. O Lord, those blessed seasons of setting at liberty, to know thee whom to know is life eternal, to hear those precious words of forgiveness spoken by thee, by the power of the Spirit. O Lord, we do pray that there may be such seasons of rejoicing. And, O Lord, we do pray that any that are unconcerned, or indeed that they may be brought to truly seek thee with the whole heart, to be brought in repentance, and those that are waiting upon thee, burdened over their sins, O Lord, do grant them that grace, and that patience to wait upon thee, yet crying unto thee, pleading the precious name of Jesus, that, O Lord, thou hast be pleased to grant them that heavenly call and speak unto their soul and apply the precious blood. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast be pleased to grant thy blessing. Do be with those that are unable to come out, caring for little children, or those that are sick, that are unable to come out to thy house. O Lord, do be with them to help them. And grant thy special help, we pray. We pray for any that could be here, but for whatever temptation or not, that could be at thy house, but are not. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant thy mercy, that thou wouldst be pleased to lead them according to thy word. O Lord, we would pray for those that live in this neighbourhood. O Lord, that thou mightest be pleased to look in mercy upon them. And according to thy sovereign will, that there may be those be called by thy grace to come to hear thy word, to come seeking thee. And O Lord, may we be given that true spirit of prayer, that true desire, that thy word may sound forth, and thy blessing may attend. Oh, how we do need thine appearing in our nation. None but the outpouring of the Holy Spirit can do us any real good. Oh, Lord, we do pray in our new Parliament that there may be those who are wrought upon, brought to profess thy name, to pray, to seek unto thee for wisdom. Oh, Lord, do grant that wisdom, we pray, and that mercy on our government and parliament. So many things done that are contrary to thy will. O Lord, may there be that mighty power of the Spirit in our nation. We do beg, we do plead in the precious name of Jesus that thou wouldst appear for us. And O Lord, we beg that thou mightest be pleased to raise up more ministers of the gospel, to raise up pastors in the churches. O Lord, to raise up deacons, members, mothers in Israel, to strengthen thy servants, some in old age, some tried, afflicted, tempted, cast down, discouraged. O Lord, do grant thy help from on high, and may thy word come with power. O Lord, we would pray for the distribution of thy holy word, the translation of it, the publication. Do be with our brethren in the Trinitarian Bible Society, and all others who would likewise labour to send forth the uncorrupted word, and do attend with power that work, we pray. Do provide all those practical things needed. Provide all spiritual wisdom. Raise up those to labour in such a vital work. Do, O Lord, be with thy one true church, especially those in persecution, in poverty and distress, amidst disease or war. Do, O Lord, provide for those longing, thirsting, hungering, that they may receive thy word and make a way, we do pray. Be with the orphans, the fatherless, the widows, to provide for them in their need and their affliction. And, O Lord, do now favour us. We do thank thee for all thy goodness to us, even through the past year. And, O Lord, truly thou art good. and have mercy upon us, for oft times we have murmured, complained, kicked against thy ways. So, Lord, do grant us thy grace, that, O Lord, we may humbly walk before thee in thy service, and say from the heart, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As we come to a new year, is spared that we may from the heart desire to serve thee in love, to show forth thy praise, to bear witness of thy mercy. Do then help us now as we seek to come to thy word, to grant me that help in speaking, each one of us in hearing thy word, and that we may walk therein to thine honour and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us sing part of hymn 122. We'll sing the first 7 verses. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Saviour forth. Hymn 122, the first 7 verses.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I'd particularly direct you to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. And we'll read the title and the first two verses. A song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth, even forever. The title, The Song of Degrees, is part of the inspired Word of God. And there are a number of psalms that bear that title, A Song of Degrees. Particularly associated with those going up to the temple to worship. And that word degrees signifies, as it were, a going up. Not just those who would be climbing up to Mount Moriah, the temple mount, but I trust those of us who are truly seeking. That our eyes may be up by faith unto Jesus, unto the Lord. And that in whatever circumstance we are in, we may be able to say concerning the Lord that truly he is good. It is indeed well in whatever circumstance. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purposes. Psalm 136 begins, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. May the Lord give us that increase of faith that we may look up. And that in our hearts, in our prayers, there may be that, as it were, that going up unto the holy mount. That going up is not in our own efforts. Martin Luther proved that when it was, as it were, a voice from heaven came to him when he was in Rome on the so-called holy staircase, which it was the superstition that to receive forgiveness of sins or an indulgence, devotees had to climb up on their knees, the holy staircase. But as he was going up, he heard, as it were, a voice from heaven saying, the just should live by faith. And that all of those superstitious efforts, however great they may be, however earnest they may be, however zealous they may be, however humiliating they may be, was to no avail. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. By grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So as we consider those words, a song of degrees, we do need that resurrection power of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who said, because I live, you shall live also. I am the resurrection and the life. Outside of Christ, without his resurrection power, without his one sacrifice for sin, his shed blood, without his death, his resurrection, We are but dead in trespasses and sins. We're of the earth, earthy. We're fallen. We mind earthly things. By nature, we have all our hopes on earthly things. All our concerns are here below. It has been said most rightly that a true believer, when called to die, to pass from this life to that which is to come, is going home. One who is not a true believer, when they die, they are leaving home. Because to an unbeliever, this world is their home. But to one who is a true believer, called out of the city of destruction, for indeed that is the title, that which is they see to be written upon everything here below, that's of the flesh, that's not in Christ, city of destruction. They see that they seek a better country. The pilgrims, strangers, that word literally means foreigner. If we are a foreigner, we visit another country. And are far away from our own country, we long after our home. And we wait that time that we may return home. So it is with one called by grace, called out of the corruption of this world, that there is that in the new man of grace, not in the old man that still there fights and kicks and rebels, but the new man, there is a longing after Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. Paul said, desired to be with Christ, which is far better. There, as it were, there was that looking up, that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But a pilgrim and a stranger, foreigner, literally, on a pilgrimage, seeking a heavenly country, which is far better. Indeed, for these pilgrims going up to the temple in those Old Testament days, it was a type of the every true believer, whether Old Testament or new, by faith, seeking that better country. Through the precious Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we such? Are we pilgrims and strangers? Or is this our home? Where all our hopes are, where our treasures are, where our ambitions are. The word of God, he that trusteth in man, cursed be he that trusteth in man. This place, this earth is cursed on account of sin. This is all of grace and that glorious work of the Holy Spirit. If we see and truly realize in our hearts, it's revealed unto us that this is cursed. This world is cursed. But there is a heavenly home, a heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. City that hath foundations. So many things in this life, they're uncertain as we look on it. Things suddenly happen. Things that we don't expect. Things that we hoped for that would last for many years, they don't. All things are known unto God, but as we see them, these things seem so uncertain. We read of uncertain riches in the scriptures. There was one who put his trust in such things, the rich fool. And his business had prospered so much. He got much laid up in store for many years. Soul, take thine ease. Pull down thine barns and build bigger, which to bestow all the fruits of the harvest and all the riches. Does that word soul take thine ease? But the Lord spoke, "Thou fool, this night thy life shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be?" And in the ministry of the word, I must give these warnings. For one of us must be the next one to be buried or to die. We do not know whether it will be the coming day or coming years. We know not. But one of us. And are we on that heavenly pilgrimage, spiritually, looking unto Jesus? Are we pilgrims and strangers? Or are we, as the hymn writer said, about rambling still, wandering around aimlessly, or seeking for some good in this cursed earth? A song of degrees. And should not we rejoice, though we have such a glorious, wonderful hope in Christ Jesus, in the midst of things that are grievous, troubling, oft to our minds confusing? Neither know we what to do. We have no might against this great army. But where was the eyes of looking up? But our eyes are up unto thee. And the Lord was gracious to answer that prayer. The Lord sent his word by his servant to declare the word of the Lord. And they sang the praises of God, even though the army was still there. But now they knew the Lord had heard and answered. And may the Lord give us that like faith. We know not what we might have to face. Some of us may have particular things before us that we know we must face perhaps tomorrow or next week or in the coming year. And they trouble us. Somewhere that we have to go back to perhaps. Like I spoke of this morning about Ebenezer, where twice the armies of Israel have been defeated. And they were back there. The Philistines again were coming near to battle. And perhaps we have to go back to that place that where we have sinned, where we've fallen. But the beauty about that passage is that in that spirit of repentance, that God-given repentance, that faith, that looking unto Jesus, there was the sacrifice, the sucking lamb, that whole burnt offering. And that very moment that Samuel was offering up the offering, the Lord thundered, a great thunder, that great voice. And the Lord, at that very moment, came manifestly to the deliverance of Israel. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Here is the great cause of our song, our thanksgiving unto God. He is good. He's gracious, he's merciful, he's faithful. He's the rock of our salvation. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Well, the word trust is synonymous, or has a similar meaning to faith. Oh, but I have so little faith. What shall I do? Well, the word of God instructs us, does it not? And the disciples, they came unto Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. This is where we must go. We have those things before us that cause us to tremble, to fear greatly. What shall become of us? How shall we manage this matter? How shall it be provided for us? Let us come unto Jesus. We may say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, grant us that wisdom, that understanding. But we may say, oh, our sins are so great. Like we mentioned this morning about Ebenezer, the sins that were, the judgment that fell upon Israel and at that place some 20 years before that day of deliverance. And the judgments that fell upon the house of Israel and the ark captured by the Philistines. How great my sins, my failings. Well, there is one answer. It is Jesus. Let us come unto him. There we read of those who come to the feet of Jesus. There is the blessing. We mentioned it this morning. There was the woman with the issue of blood. We would also mention the woman that was a sinner. That which was evidently well known, and Simon the Pharisee in his heart said, and his heart, those very thoughts of his heart were laid bare, recorded in the Word of God, in that sacred account. And that should teach us that even the very thought of our heart, in our desires of our heart are laid bare before God. And our lives, now which we do, the Lord sees. And one day we must give account before the throne of God, not before man. Well, that Pharisee in his heart said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman it was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. True indeed, a prophet. True, he knew that she was a sinner, far more so than that Pharisee did. But yet she was coming in repentance. She had come to Jesus. There indeed was that mark of faith. She wasn't pleading with the Pharisee, she'd come to Jesus. And she was at the feet of Jesus, showing forth that sorrow over her sins, showing forth her love to the Lord. And the Lord spoke those words of forgiveness. My sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. He has that power. See, he was truly God, truly man. That power, that authority to forgive sin. We have the man that was sick of the palsy. He had to be laid at the feet of Jesus. Couldn't remain on the roof. Had to be, as it were, laid at the feet of Jesus. There was the blessing. And that which was foremost was the forgiveness of his sins. And that healing of his body was a testimony of the power of that Jesus had. The authority not only he had, but he has. And he will to the end of time to forgive sin. Zacchaeus. He climbed up a tree to see who Jesus was, but the first thing the Lord said unto him was, Zacchaeus, come down. This day I must abide at thy house. There must be that coming down. Oh, this trust in the Lord. The word Lord there is in capital, signifying it's the word Jehovah. I am that I am. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Blessed Trinity. They that trust in the Lord. That trust is not a proud trust. The Pharisees, they trusted in their traditions. They trusted in their own righteousness. If we trust in those things, indeed, has it not been a trouble amongst not only our own group of churches, but others, that temptation to trust in traditions, trust in our name, trust in the rich heritage that we have? These things can start very subtly. We can subtly start to deviate. But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Must be in the Lord, that in all things Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. Now we do need to watch and pray, lest we fall into temptation. The Pharisees, they trusted in the traditions of the fathers, but in doing so they made of none effect the word of God. But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. God is the rock, our Lord Jesus, the rock, that which is solid. Times I've been in countries with mountains, very stormy places, and the most terrible storm. And you wonder will those craggy peaks still be there after such a terrible storm? If it was a stormy like this down at sea level, whatever must it have been up in those mountains? And then in the morning, it's clear, there they are just as before. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. In union with Christ. In union, washed in his precious blood. For that new life, there is resurrection and his intercession. There we are partakers. We are safe in him. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. One with him. Partake of his struggling to think of the word, but he is the rock. There's a solidity there. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and today, and forever. And in him, there is safety, security. We have this we read in Psalm 36, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Again, it's that which is heavenly, that mercy, that salvation. We may look up by faith, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How great is his goodness. How great is beauty. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Like the great mountains, his righteousness. But yet we also have this. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Though how great the Lord is, fills heaven and earth, the very creator of heaven and earth. Yet our Lord took human nature, body and soul, born the babe at Bethlehem, and laid in a manger. How great is his condescension. He humbled himself and obedient even unto the death of the cross. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. How great is kindness, his love, that he should come. It's very striking in false, superstitious religion. And sadly, this time of year, we see many examples of it, and how we have all the decorated nativity scenes and the like, and it looks so nice, so attractive, so pleasing to the eye. But for a babe to be laid in a manger where the animals feed from. I was struck by this when I was much younger and I was having to travel to Chippenham every Lord's Day and weeknight, some 20 miles or so. And I had to drive past this particular point, this field. And having lived in a city for many years before moving out that way, the first time I saw clearly a manger. And it struck me there, it was the muddiest, the dirtiest part of the field. And I realised then, they laid him in a manger. The Lord of glory. There we see the condescension of our Lord. Show forth his love to come down. He was born to die, as it were. That he should live in this sin-cursed earth. He was so pure and holy. And not only that, should be made sin for us. He knew no sin. Should bear the sins of his one true church. And bear the punishment due. Go through unspeakable agonies in his body and his sacred human soul. There we see that God is love. The love, true love, is sacrificial. There is so much confusion about that now. People talk about love and it's just lust. But true love is sacrificial. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. O God, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. That is the analogy of the bird that spreads its wings around its chicks to protect them, to care for them. And so the Lord is, though he's so great, so high, like the great mountains. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth forever. Though those great mountains, yet we also read here, O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. To this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. So how great the Lord is, yet how great is his mercy. Great, how great is his compassion. How worthy it is that we should seek unto him for forgiveness of our sins, for that help in the path to come. In whatever lies before us, he is faithful. He is just, he is holy, he is kind. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We have, and it is entitled, referred to as a Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord went up to that mount, recorded particularly in Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There we have those Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord give us that faith to lay hold upon those blessings, so we may seek, as it were, that we may press forward unto the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And may rejoice for so gracious a calling. What a privilege. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they fell a prey to many a temptation. Many deadly temptation. They were looking at the hardness of the way, the roughness of the road. And the Lord was righteously angry with them. They lusted after flesh. And we have a very solemn example of where they called unto the Lord for something, and it was granted, not in mercy, but in anger and in judgment. They were minding earthly things. They murmured and complained at the roughness of the way. And truly, we have no stones to throw at them. How often have we complained and murmured the difficulties? But may we, as true pilgrims, look towards our heavenly home, that place that the cloudy, fiery pillar is guiding us, even through this wilderness. A song of degrees. See that every step the Lord is leading us closer. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Now we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We have there that parable, we may call it so, of the man that built his house upon a rock and the one that built his house upon the sand. And we see here, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. The one that built upon the rock, upon Christ, upon the word of God. When that storm came, They're, as it were, as Mount Zion. They were safe. One thing that is striking about this account, those things that were similar, were the same between the two men. They were both building. They both had to go through the same storm. They both heard the word of God. But the difference was that the one that was building, who was building upon the rock, "For whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." That there was living faith. Faith without works is dead. There wasn't just a hearing of the word. We're not saved just by coming to chapel and hearing the ministry of the word. The man who built upon the sand, he heard the word. What effect was there? What love in the heart was there? What following of Jesus, of the word of God, was there? "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Well, the man who built upon the rock, there were still the floods, still the storms, still the wind, but that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I had the most striking testimony of this when I was in September, I was in Zimbabwe. And unexpectedly, I found myself, it was arranged to go and stay with a white farmer and his wife, who I'd met some 8 or 10 years before and stayed at their house, and I knew that his health had not been good. I didn't even know whether he was still alive. But on the first night, we were taken to his house. I immediately recognised it, and he was there and his wife. His farm had been repossessed years ago, but he was still there farming on rented land, and he was a godly couple. And whatever opportunity they had, and they would seek to be of assistance in the churches. But in spending a couple of nights there, there was some very good conversation. And a man, Mr. Richardson, he said to me what happened in that town 20 years before. And there was the so-called Toronto blessing came. All these miraculous signs and wonders, supposedly, and people hysterical in the church service and rolling on the floor like a snake, as he described it. This sort of spirit coming. And these prophets, supposedly, prophets brought this, and this church, which was mainly white people who attended at that time, was taken over with it. And he said to me, he was sat on the pew and there were people writhing on the floor. And he was praying that the Lord would keep him sat on the pew, and he could hear the people behind him praying that he would be rather on the floor with the others. And he said to me he felt there was a terrible power, but one that was not of God, going through that assembly. And he said to them afterwards, "Where is this in the word of God?" And they said to him, "How dare you challenge us?" Or challenge the Holy Spirit, that you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by questioning this. And he said, "Well, how is that what you've said consistent with God's word?" Well, He went his way and they went their way. But there were all manner of prophecies about how the white farmers would keep their farms and the trouble, the clouds, the storm clouds that were gathering would all go away and they'd all live in prosperity. Mr. Richardson said to them, well, where are the righteous men here? Well, this I know, that if we hold by the word of God, the Lord will bring us through whatever trouble or tribulation there is. Well, they carried on their way, and various prophecies about people being healed, and there's one lady who was diagnosed with cancer. And they prophesied, well, it's actually two, he said, and one sought medical help and was, in God's providence, was healed. The other one listened to the false prophets. And despite every prophecy that was made, she died. And nobody was allowed to speak about the death when Mrs. Richardson went to go and give her condolences to the family. Nobody was allowed to speak about it because the prophets had said she'd rise from the dead. Come out of the coffin. Well, none of it came to pass. And within a year or two, all the farms were taken, church gone, prophets gone. Absolute desolation. Church gone. But Mr. Richardson, 20 years on, still there. On the word of God. Gone through many trials, many difficulties. But there he was, still there, still with the word of God. And I thought, what an example of the one who built upon the rock. All those who are building all these funny spirits and experiences, which are rather from the devil and of the Holy Ghost, all gone. When the storm came, completely washed away, they'd heard the word of God. They'd had the testimony, but they'd rejected it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Now there was this man and his wife still holding by the word of God. Through many storms, but safe upon the rock. Oh, what a testimony. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. The Lord is a defence around about his people. Henceforth, even forever. Not just a temporary defence, one that might suddenly disappear. But God is faithful. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. We have in the prophecy of Obadiah, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. We read in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Or you may feel to be in the, not anywhere near the mountains, but in the depths, in a place of no hope. But it struck me in meditating upon this just before the service. Jesus Christ, he came to Jericho. Now if you look on a map of the world, you find the lowest place on the surface of the earth is the Dead Sea, near Jericho. Well over 1,000 feet below sea level. That sea utterly dead, no life whatsoever. Jericho, as we read from the days of Joshua, under that curse. Cursed place. Yet Jesus went there. Zacchaeus was called there. We mentioned him earlier, tax collector, publican. Caught up with the love of money and dishonest gain, but yet with that word of power, brought to repentance and to, we see a true rejoicing, not in his money, but in the riches in Christ Jesus. But outside of Jericho, there was the beggar, the blind beggar Bartimaeus. And Jesus passed by, even there. Somebody who wasn't even in the cursed city, but outside. Rejected, despised, blind, poor. But he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And even those around in that crowd attending the Lord called on him to be silent. "Hold your peace." But he would not. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." The Lord called him. There is a great encouragement, even if we feel to be in the lowest place. All the effects of the curse patently before us, stamped all over us. Nothing to recommend us. We don't know which way to turn. We can't see anything. He was totally in the dark. Yet the light of the world had come. The Lord called him, and Bartimaeus had to leave aside, we read that little detail, had to leave aside his garment. So even that little that he had to come just as he was to Jesus. And the Lord granted him his desire. The Lord healed him of his blindness, and that first sight that he'd have had would have been of the face of his Redeemer. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we read that he followed Jesus, giving glory to God. A wonderful summary there of what it is to be a disciple. To follow Jesus, giving glory to God. And where did Jesus go from there? To Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus was one of those who followed him there. The Lord went to Calvary to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." There to die, and there to rise again. There to appear unto his disciples and say, "Peace be unto you." There to ascend to the right hand of the Father, in that same body in which he suffered, died, and rose again. There to intercede at the right hand of the Father. So we see Bartimaeus wasn't left by the roadside. Jesus didn't pass by and just leave him there. The Lord came even to the lowest place, as it were. The cursed place. And showed mercy. And that one, upon that mercy, was shown with Jesus, came to Zion. Is that not a wonderful type of the Lord's mercy and grace to the vilest of sinners? And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Sometimes we feel to be much plagued or troubled by those that are ungodly. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, to them that are upright in their hearts. And as for For such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. That peace which passeth all understanding, that peace, the word that the Lord in Jesus said, the risen Lord said unto his disciples, peace be unto you. And may the Lord truly grant us that peace, that we may be given by faith that grace that we trust in the Lord. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Amen.
The collection last Lord's Day amounted to £650, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. And the collection today is for the FGEA. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year's prayer meeting on Wednesday morning. Let us close with hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. 772.
do bless us, favour us as we part. Do forgive that which has been amiss, but, O Lord, bless thine own word. Do take us on our way in safety this evening. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore.